Join me in taking your Bibles and turning to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter number 23. It's hard to believe that we're already down to the first day of finals. And I might add that you look pretty perky for the first day of finals. Hope that you'll endure till the end. And I know that the last couple of weeks, to be quite honest, I have marveled. And I know that I shouldn't, but I have marveled at how the Lord has worked in chapel services, the work that He is doing in hearts. It's an answer to our prayers. And, of course, we pray all throughout the year that God would do a work, but it just when things come down to where your time seems short and you think there's so much to be accomplished, you ask the Lord to do specific things. And I've seen the Lord answer specific prayer in the last couple of weeks. I'm very grateful for that. And so we're tomorrow night we'll be honoring the class of 2014 at our graduates banquet. Hope that you'll plan on being here. Pastor Jim Parrish, pastor in Fort Mill, South Carolina, a dear friend of this school, will be preaching tomorrow night, and I know that his message will be a great blessing and an encouragement. He was a great encouragement early on in my ministry, and he's just a practical guy, and I think he's going to be a great blessing tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to that. I have no idea of what Brother Dallas has cooked up or ready to go, but I'm sure that it will be good. So I hope that you'll come. Let's make this a special time for the class of 2014. And then next week, we have two of our graduates preaching at the beginning of the week, Sam Mills, who's an assistant pastor in Salisbury, North Carolina, and then Pastor Tracy Jones in Greenville, Tennessee. Now, both of these gentlemen, now they're deep Southerners, and they just really are fireballs, and I know that they're going to be a great blessing. Sam has been out now for a few years and has faithfully served there in his church in Salisbury. Just comes from a strong family, a great young man. And then for Tracy Jones, in recent days, Brother Jones has been battling some physical problems. And God has been doing a mighty work in his heart, and I really believe that during this week of final exams, even though you may come and you're a little bit drained by the finals that you take, I cannot help but think that God's going to get a hold of your heart and use those chapels in a special way. And then we have graduation at the end of the week, graduation or the commencement concert on Thursday night, baccalaureate chapel on Friday morning. Thursday afternoon, we have three of our young men who will be preaching, three of our men who are students, they'll be preaching 20-minute messages on that Thursday afternoon. And then on Friday evening, commencement at 7 o'clock. I want to encourage you to be in prayer now for that commencement service. Now, you say, what's at stake? I'm telling you, it's more than diplomas. Do you know that there will be people in this room that would never set foot in a church, but they're going to be here to watch somebody graduate? And so I want you to pretend, I want you to pray as if your entire family is lost and going to be here. I want you to take your brother or your sister's burden that's in the class of 2014, knowing that they're going to have lost loved ones in this service, and I want you to take it upon yourself as a personal burden to pray that, Lord, would you please use that gospel message that Brother Comfort is going to preach. We started out earlier this week on Sunday morning at Heritage Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia. I started in that meeting with Brother Comfort. It was Easter morning. They had a tremendous crowd. 14 adults came to trust Christ in that morning service. It was just an incredible thing. Seeing the power of the gospel never grows old. And it was just a thing to rejoice in. And the Lord gave us a good start to that meeting. And then, of course, I flew back on Tuesday afternoon, and we'll say a little bit more about that. I know a lot of you have indicated that you've been praying for my family, and I appreciate that. And we're going to talk a little bit here in a moment from the Scriptures about some of the things that the Lord has reminded me and He's taught me over the last few months and even in the last few days and hours. But I want to encourage you this. There are some people in our faculty and staff that are carrying some very great burdens as well, and I want you to be sure to be praying for them. Only one that I'll take the time to mention is Brother Burris. And I hope that you'll pray for him these next couple of days. He's on bed rest, and that he has gotten an infection, and he just needs some downtime. And so you pray for him, because these treatments are going to be very physically taxing on him. And I don't know of a staff member that has as much of physical pressure on him as Brother Burris when it comes to the ministry of the school, constantly dealing with finances and those types of things. And trying to make sure the bills are paid, counseling students. There's a lot of weight that's on his shoulders. And so I hope that you'll pray for him. And I want you to know there's some of you that have been a great encouragement to him already. Yesterday I was talking to him, and you never know the power of a note or a text or a kind word. And I was reminded of that and to continue to reach out my own to other people. But I hope that you'll pray for our faculty, our staff, pray especially for Brother Burris. But now I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 22 is our text. And by the way, if you've come to this chapel not right with your mother, you better fasten your seatbelts, all right? So, because you're going to get a boatload this morning, okay? Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 22, the Bible says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." I love the book of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs because although it was written thousands of years ago, just like the rest of the Bible for that matter, it helps me so much in 2014. And so this morning I want to bring to you a message that I've entitled, "Do You Despise Your Mother?" I know that's an odd evangelistic message for you to hear on a Friday morning, but it's just really a compilation of some things that God has reminded me. The last few days for us have admittedly been filled with a lot of tears and a lot of laughter. The last couple of days we've been going through some of Mom's stuff. Mom's always she loves to write letters and cards. She does that. She's done that for years, just a real encourager. I think sometimes that has rubbed off on me through the years, but I was going through her address book and I was looking at all these different addresses and all these different names. A number of them I did not know, others that I did know, but it was interesting in her address book. I noticed that she had written in there the address to the White House. And it just made me think that she probably wrote Barack Obama a letter to give him a piece of her mind. And if she did, I'm sure she sent a gospel track in there with it. So those kinds of things have really sort of lightened our hearts. And last night, as my wife was over at hospice, I sat down with the kids and we were talking about, you know, just different things. And it was just really good and wholesome to laugh. But on Saturday, before I left for my meeting to Woodbridge, I stopped by the nursing home to see my mom and went by, as a matter of fact, picked her up some of her favorite food. She's liked a lot of things about the nursing home she's been in. She's liked the bingo and the socializing, and she's really enjoyed that, but she hates the food. And it's a little bit different than my wife spoiling her every day, so I have to acknowledge that. So I went by and I brought her something, and I went into her room and just saw her. Instead of her being in her wheelchair, she was in her bed, which was really odd because my mom's a socialite. And so I sat down with her and we talked a little bit, and it was obvious that she wasn't feeling very well. And so we talked for 20 or 30 minutes. I'd sat her up in the bed and could tell that she wasn't feeling well, so I just laid her down. And I said, "Well, Mom," I said, "I've got to go." And she said, "Well," she said, "you get up there and you preach." And she said, "And I'll see you on Thursday when you get back." And I said, "All right." It was the typical pleasantries. And so went off, and then on Sunday morning got a phone call from my wife telling me that she'd been admitted to the emergency room with pneumonia. And turns out that apparently it really affected her for some time, and she didn't know it. And as a result, sepsis had settled into her bloodstream. And after trying to treat her for a couple of days, we determined that the best thing we could do is just make her comfortable because the infection had overwhelmed her body. So for the last couple of days, we've sat at hospice. We've meditated, and we've thought a lot just about things that I've learned from my mom. My mom would tell you that she certainly she wouldn't acknowledge to be a spiritual giant. She's she knows that through the years she's had to grow in her walk with the Lord, but so many things that she taught me. And you know, as you leave this semester, I want to encourage you to make sure that your relationship with your mother is what it ought to be. You know, I really believe this. I believe your attitude towards your mother reflects what's in your heart. And so I want to challenge you with that. My mom, it was really interesting. When I came to school, she was a disabled widow living on a Social Security income. And while some had encouraged me to stay home, my mom had encouraged me to go. She said, "God has called you to the ministry." She said, "You go." For all of her life, so many times, being in a lot of different places, even this week, being gone for a little while until we were able to get back on Thursday and Tuesday. And I've learned some things from my mom, and I've learned some things from this verse. I was sitting on the couch a few months ago reading through Proverbs, and verse number 22 jumped out to me. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she's old." And so I want to ask you this question this morning. Why is it that people, sometimes even in the pews of a Bible college or in the pews of a church, why is it that they despise their mother? Why is it that there's not a warmth? Why is it that there's not the relationship there that God intended it to be? And I promise you this, if you're here and your heart is not right with mom and dad and you're not where you need to be with them, the greatest issue is what is in your heart, and you've got to deal with it this morning. Now, why is it that some people despise their mothers? Number one, I believe it's because he or she thinks that she knows more than her mother. There's a lot of wisdom. Despise not thy mother, when the Bible says, when she is old. I think one of the reasons that happens is, you know, age not only brings around arthritis and sometimes maladies, but it brings about a lot of wisdom. And you know, there are some of you this morning, you've been advised by your parents and you've heard things and you simply blow them off. I want to encourage you, don't blow them off, because there's a measure of wisdom that comes with that. You know, I think about Proverbs 13 and verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So many times in our pride, we resist the advice of our parents. When it comes to a relationship with the opposite gender, you resist the advice of your parents. When it comes to just saying, oh, you're just an old fogey, that's the idea, and I believe that is in part reflected in despise not thy mother when she is old. It's a common tendency that has gone throughout humanity from the dawn of creation to this very moment. But in our pride, we push aside the advice of our loved ones. This thought hit me a few weeks ago, and I've shared it with other people. You know, it is impossible to have an argument with someone if the room is filled with humility. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. It is impossible for you to have an argument with someone in the truest sense of an argument when the room is filled with humility. And there are some of you, maybe you think it's mom and dad that are always pressing on you and you're tired and you're weary. And the truth is, there needs to be a humility born within your own heart. Because I'm telling you, there'll come a day that you'll wish that you had surrendered your pride and you would have listened, whether it be when you make that dreaded mistake and your parents come and love you anyway, or you see them for the last time. So why is it that some people despise a mother? I think in part because they think they know more than mom. And there may be things in which you know more than mom. She may not know how to change oil. She may not know how to fix a car. She may not know how to build a house. But I'm going to tell you, God has gifted her in such a way that she knows some things you don't know either. Some of you fellas, you say, well, she can't change oil in a car. Well, you can't bake a cake. You say, well, she can't build a house. Well, you know what? You can't sew. But it goes far beyond home ec. I'm talking about life this morning. And I wonder if there's some of you in here, listen, you sit in this chapel, you're winding up a semester, and you know what? Your relationship with your mom is not what it needs to be. You've despised your mother whether she's old or not. Why? Because you are hard-headed, you are stubborn, and you are proud. Why is it that people despise their mother? I think sometimes it's because they don't care about them. It's hard to admit that, but I can't think of any story in the Bible that illustrates so much how that sin can blind a person, that not only do they not care about God, but they could care less about how their parents feel. And that's in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. I know that the mother's not mentioned. I know that this perhaps could be argued by some to be an argument of silence, but one thing can be said, this young man didn't care about the feelings back home. He wanted to have his own way. Do you know it's possible for a young person to be in this auditorium, and listen, you may be enrolled in a ministry curriculum, you may be enrolled in a Bible class, but the truth is you've caused hurt and damage to your parents, and in part the reason is because you don't care. You've become so hardened to your own way. You have lost the sensitivity. There was a time when you would go to mom and dad, and now instead of running to them, you run away from them. And it's because of your own way, your callousness of your heart has grown and grown. And now the truth is, in reality, now although we would never say it in practice, we could care less what mom thinks. And I want to tell you, when you get to that point in your life, your heart has gotten hard. Sometimes we just don't care. I wonder if that's true of somebody here this morning. Maybe mom has expressed her discontent about something, and I'm not just talking about picking up your clothes off the floor. Mom's expressed her will or her desire in a certain way, and you've just blown it off, and the truth is you could care less, I'm telling you, whether it's after you make the mistake and she comes and picks you up off the floor, or you see her for the last time, you'll wish that you'd not despised your mother. But you know, another reason why I believe that is because sometimes people think, or a person will think, that his mother is a burden. I'll never forget when I was in college, I left my mom, and it was a hard thing. It was very hard. And during the course of that, my mom had some very specific health needs, and I had to drive back and forth. I was working about 40 hours a week at McDonald's. Had to go back to the Winston-Salem area a couple of hours, drive to get there, and scheduled everything in such a way so that I could make it back and forth. And I had just grown to the point where I just said, you know, Lord, I don't know. This is just tough. And Brother Childs, he caught me in the old cafeteria. The old campus was half chapel, half cafeteria, but it was all one big gymnasium. We could preach in homiletics class in the chapel during the 11 o'clock hour, and somebody could drop a plate in the cafeteria and these cups would bounce 1,000 times on the floor and people would applaud and clap right in the middle of your preaching, but they weren't doing it for you. They were doing it for the person that had just made a fool of himself. I'll never forget those days. But I remember sitting at one of those benches, and Brother Childs, he came around, and the thing I appreciate about him is he's just as compassionate today as he was then. And put his arm around me, and I just explained everything that was going on in my life. You ever been in that? And you're just like, well, they asked, so I'm going to give it to them. So I did. And I'll never forget, he opened his Bible to 1 Timothy 5, verse 4, and I never forgot it. It says this. It says, "But if any man have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God." Now, I'm going to tell you something, and don't you ever forget it. I don't expect there to be a massive influx at this invitation of responses and people wailing and weeping, but I will tell you this. There's coming a day for many of you that if you're not careful, you'll look at taking care of your parents as a burden. A burden to the point where you say, I am tired. A burden to the point when you have to carry them around. When you have to take them to appointments, if you look through things other than the lens of Scripture, you're going to see them as a burden. And you know what? You'll despise your mother. And the best thing you can do now is to make up your mind. Now, there is a balance to this. Let me just tell you, when I left my mom in a situation that some people looked at me and they said, I wouldn't do that. And it wasn't, and my mom said, listen, God has called you to serve the Lord. God will take care of me. You go. And He did. And I could give you testimony after testimony. But in those times that God arranged, you know what? I had to go. I had to take care of things. And then little did I know that for the last 5 years, my mom would be living with us. And you know what? You could say, humanly speaking, there are a lot of inconveniences to that. But you have to see it through the lens of Scripture. And you have to make up your mind, like so many other things in the Christian life. If you make up your mind to do that which is convenient rather than that which is right, you're going to displease God in a major way. You know why sometimes right now the teachers harp on you because you're not fulfilling your responsibilities? It's because you've chosen to live a life of convenience rather than one of principle. And I'm just telling you about a decision. I'm just telling you about something that is far down the road, but listen, you better learn now what the Scriptures say. And I think some people despise their parents because they're a burden. And I'm talking to some of you, maybe your parents don't have physical maladies, maybe they don't have these infirmities, but you still consider them to be a burden just by the mere fact that they disagree with you or perhaps they just don't see the things the way that you do. You better be careful about that. But sometimes people will see their mother as a burden. Maybe your mother has problems. You know what? My mother had problems. Your mother has problems. And sometimes it's very easy for us to say, you know, I just like to get away from that. But I'm telling you, we sometimes despise our mothers because we feel that they're a burden. Don't you get into that trap. You know, another reason that some people despise their mothers is because they lack an understanding of unconditional love. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may be a surprise to some of you. Your mother is not perfect. And neither are you. Now, I'm not sure which end surprised you. For some of you, maybe you were surprised that mother's not perfect. Some of you needed to be humbled this morning and know that you're not perfect. But you know, unconditional love is not based on perfection. If that was the case, some of you would have gotten, all of you would have gotten kicked out of the house a long time ago. A misunderstanding of or lack an understanding of unconditional love. You know, some of you come from, maybe your mother is not saved. I realize I'm speaking to a large spectrum of people this morning. There are some of you, maybe you have mothers that don't know the Lord as Savior. Let me say this. Some of you have mothers that are just not very spiritual. Maybe nominal. Maybe at times they aggravate you because they don't understand you. There are times that maybe they make an unwise decision that in their carnality and in your supposed spirituality and state of maturity, you look and you shake your head. And then we get to the point of superiority where you think that you're one up on them, and I think you've suddenly reached a point where you've despised your mother. Whether she's a saint, whether she's a sinner, or whether she is somewhere in between, I'm telling you, despise not thy mother. You know, unconditional love. I think about Hannah when Hannah had prayed for years that God would give her a baby, and then after she did, she just gave that baby to the Lord, and Samuel began to grow, and the Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:19, it says, "Moreover, his mother came, made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, and when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice," just giving that little token of love to her son. You know why? You know, her love for her son wasn't based upon his physical presence in her household. Her love was not predicated just the fact that she could benefit greatly from her son mowing the yard and taking out the trash because he wasn't there. But she had an unconditional love, and it showed in that she gave something to him. You know, the Bible says, "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's an explanation of how action reveals our love and how action is motivated by our love. Hereby we perceive the love of God and that He laid down His life for us. We see that God gave His only Son, and that was an act of love, unconditional love. And we see Hannah giving something to her son. Now here's a very convicting question. When is the last time you've given something to your mother? In a heart of love. Some of you, it comes to Mother's Day, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You've not given your mom something for Mother's Day in years. Shame on you. There's some of you here, you say, "Silver and gold have I none." I feel like the apostles. You say, "I don't really have a lot." And I understand that. But when's the last time that you've done something kind? When's the last time you've done something just to express your love to your loved one? You need to think about that. Some people despise their mother. Why? Because they're just out to get what they can get. And if you're that way, you'll not just be that way in a parental relationship. You'll be that way in every relationship the rest of your life. You know, there's a lot of questions you need to use in the interrogating process, but sometimes the best thing to do is not ask questions when it comes to a relationship. Sometimes it's just good to observe. You observe how somebody treats their mother and how their mother treats them. That'll give you a lot of input about your relationship with that individual in the future. Unconditional love. You know, I think about I think about John 16 and verse 26. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved. And he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. We're talking about here is somebody who had more devotion than even his disciples. And that she followed him all the way to the cross. Why? Because she had an unconditional love, but I'm afraid we have a younger generation. We find as Timothy, when it talks about disobedient to parents in the last days, we see a growing discontent among young people and their parents. And I don't think it's just confined to the world. I think it has crept into the house of God. We lack unconditional love. We lack an understanding of it. Some of you here, you say, my mother's hard to love. There's sometimes she does things that are not right. And you know, whenever you come to that point and you're tempted to be discontent, read Romans chapter 5 and just be reminded that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say if you come out of a bad home situation, that's not an excuse to despise your mother. Some of you, you live in Christian homes where, listen, maybe it has been so chock full of hypocrisy when you came to college, you have been just spewing and you have just been talking about everything negative and you've developed such a critical spirit and you say, Brother Bill, you don't understand the hypocrisy of my home. And it may be there, but it's no excuse for you to despise your mother. They lack an understanding of unconditional love. But you know, this is the last thought that I'll leave you with. Sometimes people despise their mothers because they lack or because they are ungrateful. They are ungrateful. I'm going to tell you something, young people. I want to stop. I want you to look this way. There is a growing trend of ungratefulness among people your age in so many areas. I don't say that condescending to you. I say it in part shame because maybe for us as adults, or for us that are older, we have not taught you how to say thank you. And shame on us. But you know what? There are some of you, you get money on your school bill and you never write a thank you. You say, how do you know that? I have my sources. I'm in thick with the finance office. You know, somebody does something kind for you in the middle of a day that you're absolutely unworthy of. It's amazing that they would waste a dollar to buy you a soda in the commons. And you don't even pause to say thank you. I'm convinced that we live in a very unthankful generation. But I believe that one of the reasons that people despise their mothers is because they've forgotten what mom has done for them. Listen, she did more than bring you into this world. There may be some of you, your mothers have passed away and maybe mother's no longer here. You know, for me, my father passed away when I was 15. Every time I come to Father's Day, my mind has to drill back 25 years in order to remember the last days with my dad. And there's some of you that maybe you're in the same situation with your mother. That had taken place. But as you go back and as you think, I want to encourage you, don't you forget the kind tokens of what they did for you. You know, for me, for my mother, she sacrificed greatly. I got to thinking about this yesterday. Said I wasn't going to do this. Went off to Bible college. That was a big step. That time the school bill was considerably less than it is now. It goes back a little ways. And you know, knowing when you leave and you partly support your mom and you go off to Bible college, that's a big deal. And the Lord took care of her so many times in so many ways, blessed her with so many people. Went home after my freshman year. Worked. I got to spend time with mom. Got to spend time at home. That was good. Sophomore year, instead of going home for the summer, I traveled with a group. And that was long before cell phones. You couldn't just send mom a text. You had to depend on those things called blue boxes. Do you remember the post office? And, you know, the Lord just said, here, I want you to do this every summer. After that, there was time I didn't get to spend with mom. But never one complaint. Never one time, boy, I sure wish you were home. The yard needs to be mowed or anything like that. The other day, I was looking through her stuff. People asked me, they say, how many states have you preached in? I said, I don't know. You know, how many countries have you preached in? I don't know. And I saw her mom had a track of it. You know, 41 states, four foreign countries. You know, I was like, wow, you know, that's something else. But here's a woman that could have just said, hey, I want you home every summer. But she knew God had something for me. And, you know, I got to thinking and I thought, you know, I need to be grateful for a lot more than I was. You know, just sacrifices, unconditional giving. Listen, there's some of you that your mother has done things for you. And listen, you just walk under her. Or walk over her, rather. You just walk over her and you fail to acknowledge the things that she's done for you. Listen, you better be grateful, because if you're not, it'll cause you to despise your mother. Whether she sacrificed her time, she sacrificed her resources. I know that one of the reasons we reach that point is we are such an ungrateful people. And by the way, young lady, if he's ungrateful for mama, he'll be ungrateful for you. Just a matter of time. A matter of time. You know, when it's all said and done, I finish up this morning. The question is do you despise, do you hold in contempt your mother? You may be here, and the truth is you're not antagonistic towards your mother, but you know what? At times you felt like you're smarter than she is. At times you have been so ungrateful and thought about the things that she has done for you. And listen, whatever reason it may be this morning, listen to me. Hearken unto thy father and that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Last night I was up late reading, and I was thinking about parents that have done a great thing for their children. And this really hit me. Do you realize what the parents of Moses did for him? In Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. They weren't afraid of the repercussions. Why? Because they loved their son and they sacrificed in a way that none of us, I believe, really has. Anybody ever come to you and said, we're going to kill you unless you give this thing up? That's never happened to me. But yet they were so convinced of it. You know, our moms have done a lot for us. Be thankful. Don't you be ungrateful. I can promise you this, unless the rapture takes place, that one day you're going to look into your mother's eyes as she's passing through the valley of the shadow of death. And your attitude in this life toward her will either help you or it will haunt you. Why don't you choose to do what God wants you to do and despise not your mother when she is old? Let's bow our heads together. In just a moment, Brother Scoble, we're going to sing page 819, Constantly Abiding. Again, I appreciate your prayers for our family, and I want to encourage you to pray for our other staff members that are in great need as well, and sometimes I think in greater need than my own, because theirs will be a prolonged battle. But all I would do is I would encourage you this. Before you leave this campus, you make sure you're where you need to be with your parents. And if you've despised them, the best thing you can do is when you finish this chapel, either write a note, send a text, make a call. And in your heart, get this thing resolved, because one day you'll be glad you did. Father, I thank You, Lord, for our chapel time together. Thank You for our students. Lord, I thank You for the families that are represented in here. Lord, there are some here that have moms and dads. There are others here that have just dads, others that have moms that are living, that is, Lord. And whatever the case, I pray that, Father, our hearts would be overfilled with just gratitude and, Lord, the recognition of Your divine hand in our lives. And I pray that, Lord, all of us would have that right attitude towards our parents. I pray that if there'd be some here today, and I believe it very well could be the case, that, Lord, they've just been ungrateful. Lord, they've been unhappy. Lord, they've been discontent. I pray that, Father, You'd use the message today to help them in a special way. We ask these things in Jesus' name.